know, it's called stress. Your unquestioned thoughts about life lead you to believe that there's something out of order, and that can never be true. Stress allows you to know when to inquire. Judge your neighbor, write it down, ask four questions, turn it around. In itself, life is effortless. If you think there's a problem, inquire until you can see how perfect the way of it is.
Whoever is planted in the Tao will not be rooted up.
We do only three things in life. We stand, we sit, and we lie horizontal. That's about it. Everything else is a story. Life is not difficult. It's your thinking that makes it difficult. That's where your happiness or misery comes from. There are two ways to sit or stand or lie horizontal. You can do it comfortably, or you can do it with stress. If you don't love where you are, I invite you to question your beliefs. It takes a lot of courage to go inside yourself and find genuine answers to the four questions of the work. When you do, you lose all your stories about the world. You lose the whole world as you understood it to be. Once you question what you believe, you begin to see clearly because the mind is no longer at war with itself. In fact, you become excited about reality, even about the worst that could happen. You open your arms to reality. Just show me a problem that doesn't come from believing an untrue thought. Whatever happens, I always look for the gift in it. I don't have eyes for anything else. I know that if I lose anything or anyone, I've been spared. If my husband left me, I'd think, how do I know that I don't need him? He's gone. If I were to lose my legs, I'd think, how do I know that I don't need legs? I don't have them. Of course, freedom doesn't mean that you let unkind things happen. It doesn't mean passivity or masochism. If someone says he's going to cut off your legs, run. How do you know that you need cancer? You've got it. But to accept cancer is not to lean back and do nothing. That's denial. You consult the best doctors you can afford, and you get the best treatment available. Do you think your body is going to heal most efficiently when you're tense and fearful and fighting cancer as an enemy? Or when you're loving what is and realizing all the ways in which your life is actually better because you have cancer, and from that calm center, doing everything you can to heal? There's nothing more life-giving than inner peace. The only time you suffer is when you believe a thought that argues with reality. You are the cause of your own suffering, but only all of it. There is no suffering in the world. There's only an uninvestigated story that leads you to believe it. There is no suffering in the world that's real. Isn't that amazing? Both pleasure and pain are projections, and it takes a clear mind to understand that. After inquiry, the experience of pain changes. The joy that was always beneath the surface of pain is primary now, and the pain is underneath it. People who do the work stop fearing pain. They relax into it. They watch it come and go, and they see that it always comes and goes at the perfect moment. My eyes hurt this morning. With Fuchs dystrophy, there are blisters on the inside of the corneas, and sometimes the pain is intense. In addition, my specialist asked me to put a drop of salt solution in 6 to 8 times a day. This dries the moisture that causes the cloudy vision, but it's also literally salt in the wound. It adds to the pain of the lesions that form and burst and continue to create scar tissue on the cornea. Still, even after a drop, when I look at my granddaughter's face, all I see is a blur. I notice the thought, how beautiful she is. And then it occurs to me that, given the progression of my disease, the time may come when I'll never see her face again. I understand that it's unnecessary. I can't find one place in me where it ultimately matters. I may never see any of my grandchildren as they grow up. I may never see Stephen's face again, or my children's. And as I realize that, I look for sadness, and I can find only joy. An overwhelming sense of gratitude for life wells up in me, for how full life is and how nothing is ever missing, how everything is the way it's supposed to be. I continue to wait and see if I can find a need for something more, and it doesn't appear. Another day, sitting in the living room, I pour hot tea from a kettle into a cup, and I don't see that the cup is cracked, and the hot tea spills out onto my left hand. Ow! What an adventure! Even as my hand starts to throb, I'm aware that what I'm watching is absolute perfection. How can I believe that my hand is not supposed to be scalded when it is? Why would I move from reality into a fantasy of what my hand should be? When inquiry is alive inside you, thoughts don't pull you away from loving whatever happens as it happens.
She lets all things come and go effortlessly, without desire.
Anyone in harmony with what is has no past to project as a future, so there's nothing she expects. Whatever appears is always fresh, brilliant, surprising, obvious, and exactly what she needs. She sees that it's a gift she has done nothing to deserve. She marvels at the way of it. She doesn't make a distinction between sound and no sound, speaking of it or living it, seeing it or being it, touching it or feeling it touch her. She experiences it as constant lovemaking. Life is her own love story. For her, everything is new. She has never seen it before. She has no belief that would detract from what it really is. In the innocence of not knowing, in the wisdom of not needing to know, she can see that everything as it appears in the moment is always benevolent. She lets all things come because here they come anyway. It's not as if she had a choice. She lets all things go because there they go, with or without her consent. She delights in the coming and the going. Nothing comes until she needs it. Nothing goes until it's no longer needed. She is very clear about this. Nothing is wasted. There's never too much or too little. She doesn't expect results because she has no future. She realizes